Off the Ball, GAA.
People were still ringing in 2006 going, "I'll give Tommy Murphy a ring now for tickets." And some of us didn't know he passed away, like, because they had a phone book at home, there was a landline, and they just ring a number.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Well, he'll have the fury like a billionaire scorned. We're going to get to Dermot Desmond's stinging statement about the end of the Brendan Rodgers era. If you went to bed last night, Brendan Rodgers was still the manager, and now it's Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney. Ooh, ready for Keith Andrews' thoughts and all that. We're going to talk about that with Jonathan Wilson, everything happened in the league, in Premier League over the weekend. Quinny's going to join us at 8:30. Maybe one eye, more than one eye, on the game against New Zealand at the weekend. Tom English is going to join us at 9 for all the breaking Celtic news. And Tommy Rooney has loads to talk about after the weekend's GAA action. And the band is back together. Arthur, welcome back.
Hello.
And Colm, how are you?
Hiya, Jart. Welcome back, Arthur.
Thank you.
Will I read some of the statement?
Dermot Desmond.
Dermot Desmond.
Yeah.
Whoa, he's had a great week. Himself and the two lads shared in like a $4 billion deal for... They've been building a nursing home empire over the last 25 years, and they cashed out at the weekend $4 billion shared between himself, JP, and John Magner. And now he's looking for a new manager, but he's not, because he's gone straight away. I did the headlines for you first, right? Brexit. That's a good headline.
That's right. Good, yeah.
This is the Sun. They've been waiting for this. Desmond wraps Rodgers as O'Neill returns. It's O'Neill and Sean Maloney, who was already at the club. Not Roy. I did wonder if Roy was called at any point. Would you like to come on, have a bit of crack? He's like, no, you're all right. Bye, boy. Desmond blasts Rodgers as he sensationally quits Celtic with club legend Martin O'Neill returning. Quick Mart. Also, good headline. Celtic move fast to bring back old boss O'Neill after Rodgers dramatically resigns at Parkhead. I'm going to get the order of this correct. This is a very long statement, so bear with me. Brendan Rodgers has today tendered his resignation as manager of Celtic Football Club. I want to acknowledge Brendan's contribution across his two spells as manager, during which he helped deliver success that forms part of the club's modern history. However, straight away, there's no like, he did this, and this. Well done. No. However, I must also express my deep disappointment at the way the past several months have unfolded. When we brought Brendan back to Celtic 2 years ago, it was done with complete trust and belief in his ability to lead the club into a new era of sustained success. Unfortunately, his conduct and communication in recent months have not reflected that trust. In June, both Michael Nicholson and I expressed to Brendan we were keen to offer him a contract extension to reaffirm the club's full backing and long-term commitment to him. He said he'd need to think about it and revert. Yet in subsequent press conferences, Brendan implied the club made no commitment to offer him a contract. That was simply untrue. We met with Brendan regularly, including in December last year and at the start of the summer, with regular dialogue in between to discuss and agree our collective strategy, priorities and approach. Every player signed and every player sold during his tenure was done so with Brendan's full knowledge, approval and endorsement. Any insinuation otherwise is absolutely false. His later public statements about transfers and club operations came entirely out of the blue. At no point prior to these remarks had he raised any such concerns with me. I think maybe if you had some issues, you'd go to the... Hey, look, I'm going to say some stuff here. It's about you. With me, Michael, or any other member of the board or executive team, in reality, he was given final say over all football matters and was consistently backed in the recruitment process, including record investment in players he personally identified and approved. I was the quotes that he made recently, so the 24th of October, which is like last week, right? There's no way you'll go into a race and be given the keys to a Honda Civic and say, I want you to drive it like a Ferrari. It's not going to happen. And then afterwards, he was asked about it in the press conference and it was like, oh, less Honda Civic and more Land Rover, Range Rover.
And too deep in the weeds in that metaphor.
It's like he was trapped in it. We weren't quite the Ferrari, but a Range Rover Sport I'll go for. Hopefully we've no more Morris Minors in the performance. Not that they're a bad car. There are other cars available.
He didn't say that, did he?
He didn't say there were other cars available. He said not that they're a bad car. That was like a real accidental partridge. When his comments were made publicly, I sought to address them directly. Brendan and I met for over 3 hours at his home in Scotland to discuss the issue. I know where you live. Despite ample opportunity, he was unable to identify a single instance where the club had obstructed or failed to support him. The facts did not match his public narrative. And there's another full page of the statement to go through. I was like, da 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 da. His actions since then have been divisive, misleading and self-serving. They've contributed to a toxic atmosphere around the club and fueled hostility towards members of the executive team and the board. Some of the abuse directed at them and at their families has been entirely unwarranted and unacceptable. And then, what has failed recently was not due to our structure or model, but to one individual's desire for self-preservation at the expense of others. Burn the boats. Is he getting another job after? I mean, football doesn't care.
No.
Other owners will be like, well, he won't do that to me. But it's certainly, it's a torching of his reputation.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that this wasn't one of those like...
yeah, I don't suspect he does mutual. That easily. I don't think Dermot Desmond probably has much call to do that naturally. Maybe he does. Maybe he's incredibly vocal. But I don't... that's a very vociferous goodbye.
Yeah.
It's just... and do not come back.
No. He won't be welcome at the reunion, the 25th anniversary of whatever triumph they had.
It's an incredible flame out.
Yeah, he should have gone in the summer, really, get his time back when he was hot. Should have gone because he said he was going to stay, and I remember being surprised that he was going to stay. It's tough, you know. They say never go back. I'm a big advocate of that. Don't go back. Never works out. It was like, you know, Didier Drogba's last kick of a football, first time around, is winning the Champions League for Chelsea. Then he came back. It's like, just leave it. Just leave it like that. It's better. And think of what Rodgers achieved the first time around, like the double treble. Was it the first season they went unbeaten, which is the first time in Scotland to do that since 1899? You know, all these achievements. That's where he gets the Leicester job. I remember thinking, geez, he's going to Leicester. Like, that's how good he was. That's how well he was doing at Celtic. So he's going to take the Leicester job. Now, he's done well when he came back because they won the league. But sure, you know, Celtic winning the league... Yeah, but he did it well, and they were very good in the Champions League last year. Very good. They were much improved.
Justify his coming back, surely.
It wasn't
like they were brilliant in the Champions League last year.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst return of all time, but it was the way it's ended now. It looks like it's never going to happen again for him. But it's funny because again, woke up to the push notification of this. You know, what the least bit surprised, other than the word resign used in modern football, that was shocking. But then I clicked down for the full push notification to see who was coming in as interim. And I was actually thinking when I saw that he was gone, my first thought was, geez, I wonder would he ever go back or would they take him back, Martin O'Neill? But Martin O'Neill, like for, you know, as people of a certain vintage will remember his great side that he had at that level when he took over 2000, 2001, when Rangers were running away with it. That team that he had, that 3-5-2 that he played when he had Larsson and Sutton and Hartson, and they had
Bobo
Lambert. Petrov. And Stillian Petrov and Alan Thompson and Didier Gat.
A lot of money.
What a team. What a team it was. Yeah. They get to the UEFA Cup final. Yeah. So, and that's when there was very little bitterness associated with Martin O'Neill. And that's what he's become in the last few years. It was like this guy who holds a grudge, his favourite thing to do, and he has many grievances with many people. He's in WWE's world, he'd be Bret Hart. This guy remembers what you did to him and he will talk about it. And now he's back. The good times, a quarter of a century later after his great triumph and 20 years after he left the club.
We were chatting before this, Arthur. You think it's not a bad time to be coming in? I think it's it could go horribly wrong for Martin O'Neill here.
So hot or hard, 8 points clear.
I should say as well that Martin O'Neill was on TalkSport yesterday morning talking about how Celtic lack a bit of physicality. They can be got at the moment. So maybe that's a good thing that he's coming in and everybody knows they're going to have to step up immediately to keep their place in the team. It's good man, Colm. Colm just spilled a whole glass of water all over.
Thankfully, it's water
dripping down onto the TV.
And it was
below.
Just a carpet patch.
It's actually into the hardware.
Is it? Yeah.
And there's a screen built in.
To shut the show down. It will be shut down.
If we no longer exist, it's not because Dermot Desmond has pulled the plug. It's because...
Look at that.
Oh, well done.
Oh, that's dripping.
Yeah.
That's dripsy.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just looking, it's like 41 years, I think, since...
Aberdeen.
I think 85 was the last time they won.
Now, the next season, 86, Celtic won on goal difference from Hearts. So it was actually a golden era of competitiveness. And then obviously Ferguson left and... Rangers came in and spent all the money.
It sort of depends, doesn't it? Like, I'd have very little faith at this point in time of a different team holding. You'd have to. It'll take some doing before you can convince me that's really on. So you probably have a thing where leaving out, he comes in, gets a few good results. All of a sudden, it's down to 5 points, whatever, and it's like, if he was to go, I think it's set up nicely. Maybe 8 points is a bit further out than you'd want to be, but I think it's set up nicely. What Celtic realistically said should.
What do you need to do to get the Celtic job permanently, right? If you win the league, there's a good chance he's going to win the league still. They'll probably keep him. Like, there's a good chance Martin O'Neill will get a 2-year contract off the back of this. If they start improving, if their form gets any bit better, Hearts start dropping points.
He's 73.
Celtic will win the league. Like, suddenly then, that's enough to sustain a job in the Scottish Premiership. This guy could be here for a while yet.
He's 2 books behind him. He'd be 74 before the season's out.
Don't mind me here.
Is he? I thought he was 72, right? Okay, so
I think 73, it says, from in March. So I suppose he'll be 70...
52, 73 yeah. in March, yeah.
74 in March. He's born in 52.
74 March, yeah.
So look, that's not a district. Who knows? He's a very clearly very still kind of agile mind. Like, he's still out and about.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because I don't know if they specified exactly what the situation is. Is a co-manager as a thing?
No, he's the boss.
Well, he's boss of Malone. Yeah. He's just his assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I presume maybe in an ideal world they're grooming him for that.
Maybe that makes sense. Maloney was at the club ready to go, but they just feel like they're not going to expose him to the front line immediately. See if this works. Give Maloney increased responsibility as the season goes on, and then away you go.
And, Martin O'Neill comes in at this point, wins the league. That's another few years to trade off that. Look what I did. Look what I did in 8 months.
Or they get Ange back.
He's got to think very carefully about what he does next. He has made
too many mistakes. He gets a reputation back on track. No problem.
Why would they not just give it to Sean Maloney? Why do they feel like they need Martin O'Neill at this stage? Like, no one would have blinked an eye if they'd gone, right, Maloney, you've...
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like he hasn't managed before. Like, it's hard to... Maybe they just want that bit of stability. You have to do something to placate the fans. That there's something of O'Neill coming back, and it's like... I mean, that's as good as it's been in... You know, they've maybe had won leagues more convincingly, but that era seems particularly... fondly remembered, I suppose, by Celtic fans. So it's kind of a nice little buoy coming in that this guy, you know, you kind of think back. But it is, it's odd. I mean, it's an odd owl. He's not getting a job anywhere else, I think, unless he goes low down, you know, whatever. But realistically, he's not getting a job at that level anywhere else.
A club job now.
Not a hope.
Maybe the Northern Ireland job after Michael O'Neill goes. But is there a possibility it flames and it crashes and burns?
Sure.
And so therefore, that's why I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I'd say...
Sure, he doesn't have to worry about
harm if it does? Like, you go back to TalkSport, no big deal. He'll just say, oh, it was a mess, it turned out. Brendan was right.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'll just go back and report to TalkSport what happened.
Yeah, but then no he's... It's like, oh, all it's that...
problem.
All that smack talk you were talking about, one of your former guys. He was doing pretty well at the moment, Martin. Did he take this job just to avoid praising Keith Andrews after his win at the weekend? Was that it?
I would say...
Yeah, okay, grand. It's good. Yeah, well done.
The appointment makes no sense, but it makes no sense in the sense that people want Roy Keane to manage Ireland. Like, that doesn't make any sense either, but people just want it. It's kind of a vibe thing, right? So if Brendan Rodgers has the team playing a certain way which isn't working out, and Dermot Desmond said it's toxic by nature, what's Martin O'Neill's strength, ironically? It's the opposite of toxicity, which is what we've heard a lot of him recently. It's galvanizing a group of players. Light on tactics and strategy, but good on man management. Maybe that's all they want. They just want someone to come in and believe in them. And he was the ultimate self-belief guy.
Yeah. Will he call them Morris Miners or Range Rovers?
He'll just get ratty at the media when they ask him a question, but he won't talk about the players.
Yeah, hopefully.
What was it when he said, when he managed Leicester, it's Stan Collymore. And he said, you know, Collymore got in trouble again. And he said... Well, let's just say he's on strike two and strike three will be out. And he was very calm and composed about Stan Collymore. You know, this guy will generally protect his players in public. It's the media he hates.
Brendan Rodgers of the Republic of Ireland.
Oh, no. Jesus, I don't think we'd put up with that. That style of communication. No.
He'd be great.
You know what's
he
a strange one?
Take him in a minute.
I wouldn't
do it, obviously.
I was flicking through the papers this morning and I saw Frank Lampard there flying up with Coventry City. They won again, you know. And I was thinking, geez, wouldn't he go to Celtic? I was like, no, that would be a bad move.
Shocker.
And it goes to show, like, that's the confusing nature of Celtic, right? It's this massive club. So the pressure you're under when you manage Celtic is enormous, but it's also simultaneously looked down upon as a league by many people because it's a 50-50 league. Decreasingly so as well in recent seasons. So it's a bit of a conundrum with Celtic, really. So when you go there, what can you possibly achieve? And what Rodgers and Ange managed to do was take it to another level of, at their best, the football was pretty good. And so you have to win the treble and you have to win it with style. That's a success.
And do well in Europe.
That's close to perfection.
Get out of the league in Europe now.
That's close to perfection as a job spec, job requirement, which is not required at Coventry City.
So he,
and the prize is bigger. Managing the Premier League is bigger than, like, they clearly, funny, isn't they'll it? All do that.
I saw Lampard's mug and I said, oh, that'd be a great point. Actually, you never go there.
No.
I think there's a lot to be said for going there for a period of time and getting some European football experience and having, like, control of transfers, apparently. Anyway, look, we'll talk about this a little bit later. If you're Celtic fan, I would love to hear from you. 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number.
Yeah, Tom English has written a piece as well on the BBC, so we'll talk with Tom about that. But he points out the three big outlays that they had in the calendar year. And it is significant for that level in that they paid 11 mil for Arnie Ingles. They paid 9 mil for our own Adam Ida.
Yeah.
And they paid 6 for Aston Shusty. And it's fair to say that none of them have been a huge success. It's interesting. Do you think Dermot Desmond paid for Stephen Bradley's helicopter?
I don't know.
I've no frame of reference for what a helicopter costs. Yeah. And you pay by the hour? Neither. Is it distance?
I'd say it's the day.
You get it out for the whole day?
I'd say you could do what you want for the day.
I have absolutely no concept. I'd love someone to fill in. Because you could tell me that's 10 grand or you could tell me it's 800. I have no idea.
And no, it's like listening to a pension presentation.
Yeah.
Just nod along to it.
It's quite like that.
You could take me anywhere here.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sold.
Now let us know. Helicopter leasing 087-9180-180. What a day for Stephen Bradley. Because this Shamrock Rovers match was not supposed to happen on Sunday. That was a rearranged fixture. Runs the marathon under 4 hours, gets the helicopter up there, misses the first 10 minutes of the game because of adverse weather, delayed the helicopter taking off.
Ooh.
And they lose.
Under 4 hours is pretty good.
Amazing.
I mean, I know he was once a professional athlete, but he wasn't a long distance.
It's a different discipline.
He's got a very stressful job. The last few weeks haven't been, like, a lot of games in Europe, kind of few games every other few days.
It's funny how it's happened, right? Because they're just going to run out of time, I suppose, the rest of the league, and they have the superior goal difference. But they're only 3 points ahead now, albeit with a game in hand. So they're against Connacht opposition, aren't they, for the last two? So it's Galway and Sligo to finish up.
You're saying they're bad champions?
Who?
Shamrock Rovers.
What do you mean?
They're bad champions.
That's
what you're inferring,
putting,
is
putting
it?
Words in your mouth there. That was a classic.
Well, they haven't won anything.
Just falling over the line.
Shells are still champions.
I know, yeah. But
Shells are the champs. Like, what was it Stephen Bradley said after they lost to Shells a few weeks ago? He was like, don't worry, but we will win the league. I mean, it would be the ultimate. It would be the ultimate. Like, is it Netflix worthy? But it's up there. It is up there. But their goal difference should see them home anyway.
It's the result that would change that. That would have to be, what would have to happen. They'd be grand. They'll be grand. Good on them. Amazing for him. That's a full day.
Where do you think Brendan Rodgers will go? What do you think he'll do now with his life?
I don't know.
It's a hard one to call, isn't it?
Monday Night Football? Is he going to turn up on that circuit?
Oh, yeah.
Which circuit?
Monday Night Football.
Oh, he'll definitely do one MNF, yeah. He'll probably be on Stick to Football, I imagine, in the next few months.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Would him and Carragher get on? Did they get on at the end?
Well, you know, Brendan Rodgers dangled the player coach role over Jamie Carragher and then took it away.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah. So then they'll dangle an. Come on. Sorry.
But he's seen. I imagine that. What's the reputation? What's the view towards Rodgers? It's probably in the UK, it's probably talented coach.
I think.
But he has, like, he left Leicester under a cloud as well. Now, I don't know if that was necessarily all his own doing, but there was a similar thing about a lot of players sold, didn't they, and didn't replace them. So he was, like, he was kind of undone, but they failed. They finished fifth, I think, twice, didn't they? One of them was the last day of the season. I remember they lost the match to United and ended up finishing fifth. You know, would have gotten, obviously it was post Ranieri and everything, but it would have got them back in the Champions League.
It encapsulates him as a manager, isn't it? Because you see, you have the Braj stuff. And David Brent and all that.
Yeah.
Very Brent-like, right? And he takes himself awfully seriously. But then because of his success as a manager overall, people kind of just let him off a bit. They're like, okay, well, we'll forgive him for that at his best. Because he did win the FA Cup at Leicester too.
Yeah.
He didn't have them challenging until they spectacularly didn't. And it's kind of spectacularly ended here for him at Celtic. And didn't it end for him Liverpool after the Merseyside derby? So like he's a man for the dramatics, for the exits, whether it's his choice or not. But with Liverpool, like, they nearly won the league as well. Like he always does something wherever he goes, something positive. And you get the other side of him too. So I imagine a lot of clubs would take that risk that you get the first part of him.
Tara suggesting he's a next Baller League manager alongside Stephen Ireland. And was it Umar
Nias?
We should move on because we'll come back to this a little bit later on. What else do you want to talk about? We're going to talk about Man United's resurgence, the return of Ruben Amorim. Do you want to talk about Katie McCabe having a hat-trick stolen from her? It's a big game for Ireland tonight. They gave it as an own goal the other night.
Huge match tonight. Yeah. So they beat Belgium 4-2 on Friday night. Denise O'Sullivan, the first quarter of an hour, was unbelievable. She was put on the strings, just running the show. Because I think often that she doesn't play that well for Ireland. I get a bit frustrated with her because of the talent that she has, but also the burden of responsibility that she holds in her to get that midfield going. First quarter of an hour, bear in mind she only played 20 minutes since August. Phenomenal. But it's a great result for Ireland. Belgium are 7 places above Ireland in the FIFA rankings. They played at the Euros. They had very mixed results, but some positive ones in there.
Were capable of scoring goals against.
Like, where did that come from?
Belgium in advance, but they were capable of scoring goals against opposition that we would tend to batten down the hatches against.
Totally, yeah, that's one thing. But in terms of the capability of scoring goals, is a point that needs to be raised, is that like we still relied on the left back there to score a hat trick or two and an own goal. Marissa Shiva got the other, who doesn't score goals generally, but she had a great finish, left foot into the roof of the net. So that's a huge game tonight's 7:30 kickoff, Irish time. The winner goes through to League A, which will benefit World Cup qualification for 2027.
And there's extra time penalties tonight if it ends level on aggregate.
And McCabe will win her 100th cap tonight, all going well. So there's loads of stuff happening over the weekend. I thought you'd want to start with Aston Villa, but your love of Man United trumps all.
I do love a successful Man United. It's a great story. You see, the club is back up for sale. There was a guy in the UAE. He's a journalist, also works for the sports ministry, tweeted recently.
Pay the bills.
It's for sale. And they're going to they won't sell for less than 5 billion. So they're putting it out there that it's for sale. But no one seems to have the 5 billion.
Yeah.
Seems like a good price for Man United if you're like if you have the 5 bill, why not buy it?
So that's one of those things, isn't it? Because I'm not going to pretend to know about it, but that's one of those where the Glazers can effectively force Ratcliffe to sell his things. Yeah. I mean, that would be a harsh old one. That'll hurt.
That'll hurt him.
Yeah. Just looks to be turned. You put in. What happens there? Like, because he's put in, obviously.
Anyway. Well, he'll get his money back.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, okay. I don't know what. Anyway, but.
That would be a significant.
That's not going to happen today or tomorrow.
It'd be a significant price increase on what it's actually worth on the stock market at the moment. So.
Things are turning around.
They are, yeah. They're playing
good.
Well.
They're good on Saturday.
They have good players.
Yeah.
The shape looks brilliant. All of a sudden. All of a sudden, theirs is the future, not the Liverpool.
A lot of big men.
The great wheel turns.
Yeah. It's a very satisfying team to watch all of a sudden.
Did you see Marcus Rashford was the only player over 6 feet?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Said it?
Rashford was the only Barcelona player over 6 feet.
Go away.
So where's Big Rob? Of little ones.
Big Rob injured?
Lewandowski?
Yeah, he's injured, yeah.
Yeah, he set up the.
He's also out of contract at the end of the season, Lewandowski, so they expect that.
That was an interesting Clasico. Wojciech Szczęsny's a great story. I know we've lost talk about it, but he came out of retirement to play for Barcelona. Great penalty save. Vinicius Jr. and Xabi Alonso don't get along.
Well, it looks like it.
That's not going to happen either. Yeah, Marcus got an assist. But no, I genuinely thought you wanted to talk about Villa.
I'm happy to talk about Villa. They're doing great. Yeah. Unai Emery was, there were people calling for his head in the studio.
I wouldn't call for his head. I wanted him, I just can't get him.
He's 3 years at the club this week.
But it's mad how there seemed to be something going on between him and Monchi. They got rid of Monchi and since then everything is fixed. I presume this is not cause and effect. Causation is not correlation. But like they did get Harvey Elliott and Jadon Sancho on the last day of the transfer window. And then the next week, Monchi was gone.
Yeah.
He's like,
What's going on with Harvey Elliott?
Well, he hasn't.
He didn't make the matchday squad there and he was fit. It was a tactical reason.
Is it a tactical reason?
That's what.
Or is Emery it actually said? The fact that if he plays 10 games, they have
to buy him in January?
So I would suspect.
I think they wouldn't have had a problem paying that money for him if he was playing well, let him play 10 games. But he hasn't been involved in ages.
Well, he's a number 10, right? Essentially. And they'll have a load of players who play in that position.
I think the re-emergence of Emi Buendia is surprising.
You know, he,
I don't think we'd see him again.
He did go off injured at the weekend, so we'll see left in a boot. Perhaps his injury is an opportunity for them to get Harvey Elliott. But you just ring Liverpool and say, no, we're not doing that deal anymore. That was the out, lads. We'll give you, we'll do some kind of deal. Do you want him playing or not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, don't make it, don't force us to buy him.
There was, there's all talk about Jadon Sancho here. He came on and he went off again, but played well.
Yeah,
he was, played well in his time.
He was fine. Mm. He's a fine Premier League player. He's not.
We had Dan Bardell on Friday morning and
80 million.
He said he actually played very well on Thursday night as well. Probably their best player
in defeat.
But he and Victor Lindelof are left out entirely against Spurs last week. So there is a strange depth to the squad at times when you're leaving out the likes of Harvey Elliott completely. But they feel they're lacking the pace and sharpness of second half of last season.
Well,
like the boy Dan was lamenting. Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, well, they're very one paced. Well, they're very one paced when Rodgers and Watkins are playing badly, but they've started to improve, and as a result, they've started to win games. Like they've won four Premier League games in a row, which doesn't happen very often, including against Man City and Spurs. And they've Liverpool up next.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Where's that?
Anfield. At Anfield.
They've bad records there, do they?
Yeah, they have a bad record there. But it turns out against Liverpool, kick the ball forward.
Yeah, at least there's a template there. Like, a fairly recent template.
Big Jack Charlton's team would have hammered this Liverpool side, wouldn't they?
That's great. I love to see it. But it was amazing watching that game against Brentford. It's just how Liverpool were unfortunate in all these games. It seemed to be fairly unfortunate not taking certain chances, but at the same time, it's like you're taking ship and an awful lot of punishment. It's like it's not just kind of the first goal for Brentford. You can kind of go, that kind of makes sense. It's a good kind of throw in. It's a set piece as such, and it works that way. But like they just kept coming. Like that second goal, Jesus, they were just cut open. It was absolutely, and your man was miles onside. Like I thought at first glance, I was like, oh, geez, that's going to be very tight. Absolutely miles onside. It's, they're in bad, bad nick. Like, I'm not, it's not going to get terminal, but like it's bad. They're getting cut up, and I'm here for it. Sue me.
It's happened quite quickly.
Well, it hasn't, because I know we had Gareth Roberts on, and his thing was all positive about, oh, we're having great fun. It's like you're winning games after the 90th minute would suggest that things aren't necessarily stable. And now it's kind of, I think, gone probably to the other extreme. And maybe it eventually comes back to the mean, but like that's been there since the get go. Like it's you're throwing up 2-0 leads at home to Bournemouth. You're throwing up leads against 2-0 against 10-man Newcastle. And it keeps happening. You kind of keep getting away with it. And then eventually, was it Palace the first defeat? Just a proper kind of a proper team kind of that has your number comes in and exploits it, and that's it. And even then, they're losing the last kick of the game. It's not like it's, I don't think they're in. This isn't a complete like travesty or irreparable where they are, but like I don't think it goes all of us. I think it takes a long time to get stable again, if you know what I mean.
So, Mo Salah's goal is one of the best goals I've ever seen. It was outrageous. Yeah. Outrageous. For a guy who did SFA for the rest of the match and has been poor for a while now. That's the, there's Salah.
Yeah.
What a goal.
Yeah. It's amazing. Even Kelleher's reaction to it. It's just like,
and I tell you why, right? I tell you, I got the push notification that and I looked down and it was like Liverpool goal, and then I looked up, right, and so Szoboszlai dispossesses Brentford. I'm like, how are they going to score from here? Because so with the element of, so I knew Liverpool were about to score, and Szoboszlai fires it into Salah. The element of surprise was doubled. It's like a positive VAR. It's like knowing it's going to happen, then seeing it happen. So that's one of the best goals I've ever seen. The way he took it down and he fired in with his right foot.
So that's why you shouldn't be taking him off in these games, right? Like, because he's, that's the whole, like, I don't think it's that unusual for Salah not to do very much apart from score, right? Like, when he's not scoring, he's not doing very much. No one thinks, oh, he's like dominating games. So they've got to, stick with Salah.
He's a really good assist record when he's playing well.
Yeah.
But when he's playing well, he's a brilliant player. When he's not, he's one of the worst players in the pitch. But then last night or on Saturday night, that proves, like, that's why he's a great of the game. That's what we're talking about last week. unbelievable goal. You had no right to score that. The first touch alone, never mind the second touch.
Delighted for Keith Andrews. And I'd say he'll be keeping a very close eye on the Celtic results under Martin O'Neill, and I'm presuming he'll get asked about it week on, week off. What did you make of O'Neill's shape there? Was it any
fair to him? He seems a bigger man.
He is totally a bigger man.
I really don't think he would give him a second thought.
But, I think there'd be no harm in him rubbing it in.
No, he's done. It's unbelievable. He liked. Sure, look at who they've beaten as well.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't a complete shock because of what they've done already. Like, it's the best team they've beaten on paper, but they got a point against Chelsea.
Yeah.
They beat United.
Yeah.
And they went to the rabble that is West Ham, but they won very comfortably 2-0.
Yeah.
So they're proving what they can do, but like.
Even the defeats of. They were.
It's unbelievable.
Take well the opening beat. Day out. They've been actually grand in the defeats.
Yeah,
Fulham fairly did all job on them.
Fulham bit, and the opening day, which seems like a lifetime ago now because it was Nuno's Forest.
Sunderland beat them as well. But again, in that hindsight, that's fine.
They were excellent.
In hindsight, that result from United looks better and better.
Did you see
top four there briefly?
Did you see Wolves Burnley?
No,
the 3-2, 2-0, 2-all, 3-2.
Anyone see Wolves Burnley out there? Zion Fleming, the first goal?
That was his very first goal, wasn't it? For them as well.
I had a whole thing ready for this, right? That it was going to be Ian Fleming, author of James Bond books. It was going to be as smooth as James Bond. Ready to go with this. Double checked his name. Oh, it's Zion. It's not Ian. I was convinced this guy was called Ian Fleming. This Dutch guy, sent him from, I think, Millwall. A couple of years. Been at the club a couple of years. One of the most stupendous finishes. Arthur, you're going to love this. It'll take you out of the show.
I did see the highlights because I'd watched Match of the Day.
Do you remember Sean Bartlett's goal for Charlton? Do you remember that goal where it's over his right shoulder and he volleys it into the far corner?
It sounds familiar.
I'd say this one, similar, the other side, he cushions the volley from 20 yards out into the bottom corner, and there's no blame for the goalkeeper, in my opinion.
Okay.
It is one of the finest, smoothest finishes you'll see all season.
I'll take it out.
Honestly.
But
it's outrageous how good it is.
Was that match on Sunday or Saturday?
It was a Sunday game. I think.
Sunday. Maybe I'm thinking of the
It was
before.
One of the like 15 2 o'clock games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting how Sky presenters kept on laughing at the fact that they were like, oh, yeah, I know the game's going to be on Sky Sports Golf. It's like, stop making this seem like a joke. It's just, you're doing this.
It was unbelievable. Jamie Vardy scored as well.
Yeah.
For Cremonese.
Not.
Did a backflip.
Did we mention Evan Ferguson or was that beforehand?
No, before.
Yeah.
Fergie's not going well.
On you sub.
Gasparini, very critical of Ferguson.
He turned on him.
Said he had his first good training session the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
So the thing is, it's not even the boy Dovbyk starting anymore. They're putting Pablo Dybala up there as a false nine. And I think he got the goal. They beat to swallow 1-0.
Yeah.
And they bought Dovbyk on, not Fergie.
Paying him a fortune as well.